helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel. We've all heard the phrase sending up a trial balloon. The idea that you do something just to see how others will react. Now, this past week was simply another in a long line of trial balloons, and based on how the American people have reacted, I can't say things are looking all too good. Now, you may be thinking of the saga of the Chinese spy balloon, but that is only the latest in a long line of these trial balloons that have been testing us. The new ice age, which became global warming, which became climate change, have all been trial balloons to see how far government could push the American people to give up their liberty in order to, quote-unquote, save the planet. Well, whether it needed saving or not. And, of course, let's not forget the whole COVID scamdemic that basically told governments worldwide that people were more than willing to submit to tyranny and subjugation as long as we were promised we would be kept safe. It didn't even matter if what government wanted to do was actually going to keep us safe. Just tell us it'll be better, and we would walk willingly into the gas chamber or the injection lines. Now, today, I want to pop some of these trial balloons. Who knows? Maybe the wreckage that comes crashing down will fall on the heads of those who have been enslaving us for the last few decades. Hello there, everyday Americans. Paul Engel here with the Constitution Study. Yes, this is where we read and study the Constitution, and we teach the rising generation to be free, because let's face it, no one else is going to do it for us. You know, recently I was reminded of some of the words of Yuri Bezmenov. Now, for those of you not old enough to remember the Cold War, he was a Russian defector that came to the U.S. and said, "This is what they're doing to take over your country, and it's working." But it seems we not only didn't learn, we continue to not learn from these warnings. And I don't know, maybe I'll do an episode, a segment where I'll cover more of some of what Yuri and Mr. Bezmenov said. It was, again, being a child of the Cold War, having lived through, duck and cover drills and the threat of imminent nuclear annihilation, the fight against the Soviet Union just seems to be continuing to happen. The actors are different, but the tactics seem to be the same. Now, again, in the news, we've been talking about the recent Chinese spy balloon. Of course, the Chinese say, no, it was weather balloon, it was scientific balloon. But this balloon was different. Sure, there have been reports that the U.S. military shot down the balloon over the Atlantic. Yeah, over the Atlantic, the balloon that had started out over Alaska. But you see, here's what's interesting. I've been learning bits and pieces of this as it has been coming about. And, the first thing we noticed was this is not an ordinary balloon. According to multiple reports, this balloon wasn't simply carried by the whim of the wind. No, it navigated. It would loiter over certain areas, sometimes traveling as low as 8 to 10 miles an hour, giving it plenty of opportunity to observe. This balloon had solar panels on it and had all sorts of other instruments we weren't too sure of yet. It's still being picked up off the ocean floor to be analyzed. But that to me is not so much the issue. See, the military, the federal government knew about this balloon long before it crossed the border of the continental U.S. It was released and went over Alaska. So they knew about this as it went over Alaska, parts of Canada, and started drifting across parts of the continental United States. Okay, Paul, but it was. What if it was just a weather balloon? Well, I'm not an international law expert, but it seems to me if you're going to launch a balloon that's going to fly over territory of another country, you warn them about it, don't you? They don't find out about it through a military observation. There's diplomatic channels to show what is the purpose of this. And then, of course, if all it was a weather balloon, why did the federal government hide this from the American people for so long? Because, in my opinion, whatever data the balloon collected, it was gravy. See, the purpose of the balloon, well, it really wasn't any different than, well, when the Chinese see how close they can fly to, say, the Korean Peninsula or Japan. When I was a younger, you know, when I was a kid, the Soviets used to routinely fly right to the edge of U.S. airspace just to see what kind of response they would get. And it tells a lot about the both sides based on how hard they push, how they push, how they react. It's, you know, there's a lot of information gathered there. So the fact that this balloon, well, nobody outside of the government seemed to care about it until the people were told. And then people started getting upset. Why are we letting this balloon fly over the United States? You see, I told you that it was shot down over the Atlantic. Now, according to the Biden administration, they didn't want to shoot it down because they were afraid of people getting injured or property damaged over the continental U.S. I'm sorry, I'll call BS on that one. This was over parts of Montana, I believe North and South Dakota. There are vast tracts of land that are basically empty. So unless they believe this, like, maybe had, I don't know, a radiological material in there, like a dirty bomb, who's going to get hurt? There were plenty of opportunities to take this balloon down before it got over populated areas. Back when it was over parts of Alaska, the northern U.S., and as people saw the balloon move in a direction other than what would be carried by the wind, that should have been like red flags going, hey, there's something going on here. You know, maybe we should not wait and see what information the Chinese can collect before we start doing something. But again, we're dealing with politicians. So I don't know. You know, I'm sorry. Biden seems to be such a friend of China. Maybe he didn't want to upset his Chinese overlords. Who knows? maybe there was some back channel deal we haven't been made aware of, because we all know how secretive government has become. But he waited until the balloon crossed the entire continental United States and was off the coast of South Carolina before they shot it down. And I don't know, this to me smacks of much of what I've seen from the Biden administration. For example, the idea of we want to get out of Afghanistan, and the previous administration has started making moves and they had set requirements. But what happens is Biden comes in and he simply, not only does he simply immediately evacuate, he does it in what I can only describe as one of the dumbest ways I could possibly think of. Let's abandon the military base with the secure runway before we get all of our people out. Let's depend on a private airstrip. And you know, I don't know. I'm not a military expert, but not only does it seem stupid to me, but I've heard plenty of military experts saying it was the dumbest way to go about doing it. So when we find a balloon with a giant sensor package apparently hanging underneath it, and it seems to be going over, oh, I don't know, some of our most sensitive military installations, you know, like missile sites, things that a foreign military opponent might be interested in studying, and we do nothing about it, and we wait till it's gone over all that land and all that information and collected all that data, and then, okay, we'll shut it down. After it goes over the military wings and the Air Force bases and the missile silos, then we'll, that's like, I'm sorry, that's taking closing the barn door after the horse got out to a whole nother level. Again, I don't know what else is going on, I don't know what's in the mind of the president or his military advisors. I don't know what's in the minds of the leaders of the Chinese Communist Chinese party that floated this trial balloon. What I have seen is this is what we can expect from the American military. This is what we can expect from American leadership, I should say. The military, you know, face it, if they'd given the orders, this thing had been popped and down and nothing flat. But no. The leadership in our government is willing to send billions of dollars overseas to another country to help them fight a war, but they won't protect our own airspace. Shouldn't be surprised. They won't protect our own borders. So this is just another, again, trial balloon. Hey, how will the U.S. military react? You've got probably at least two more years of this leadership. How will they react? But I think it's not simply the leadership. How will the American people react? How do we react when our borders are left open and our laws are not enforced? Oh, we whine and complain, but we do next to nothing. How did we react when hundreds and thousands of people who had supported us in Afghanistan were abandoned to a horrible fate with the Taliban because we couldn't be bothered to organize an effective evacuation? How did we react? Well, some people actually put their boots on and went out. There's a, I can't remember the name of the group, but they went back to Afghanistan to try and rescue some of these people on their own dime, by the way. They collected donations for it. They didn't get the government to pay for it. They did it. So I come back to the question, how do the American people react when they are challenged? You see, Biden reacts a certain way because he's got a political agenda and he pretty much figures the American people are not going to do anything about it. The political leaders react a certain way because they have a political agenda and they pretty much assume the American people are not going to do much of anything about it. And then we don't. So I can't really say I'm surprised at how they act because the American people have basically said, no, we'll just curl up and let you guys play war and do whatever, and we'll just suffer the consequences when they finally happen. You know, it reminds me a little bit of the late 1970s, the whole Iran hostage crisis and this challenge to the U.S., to our power, our authority, questioning our willingness to actually protect our own citizens. And how in the 70s, not much happened. Now, here's the good news, ladies and gentlemen. 1980 changed things. The 1980 election, we got rid of Jimmy Carter and we hired Ronald Reagan. Love Reagan, hate Reagan. Remember that when he took office, the Iranians released the hostages because they believed that if they continued to poke Uncle Sam in the eye, he was going to take a swing at them. Based on what you've seen lately, what do you think Putin or Xi think the Uncle Sam will do if and when they push? Russia's been pushing in Ukraine. They simply annexed Crimea. Then they stopped for a while because they had a president they thought might actually shove back. And then as soon as Biden comes into office, voila, we're just going to invade Ukraine because we think we can get away with it. And of course, you know, I'm not here to say that the American people should be fighting for Ukraine. But it tells a lot about a nation and its leadership, how they react to what they perceive of their opponents. So if Putin was willing to invade Ukraine, who's Xi willing to invade? And could this trial balloon simply be a test to see, well, would the Americans protect, say, Taiwan and Japan? I don't know. Let's actually float a balloon over their territory and see how they react. seems like a plausible explanation to me. Now, I've got some other examples of these trial balloons I've been mentioning, but I have to take a break. Before I go, though, please head to the website constitutionstudy.com. I'm still looking for questions. If you'd like to ask a question, there's an Ask a Question button on the menu. Hit the checkbox that says, please answer on the radio. I'll be more than happy to. I'm also looking, if you want to sign up for the mailing list, I've got three mailing lists up there, a weekly insider's update, a monthly newsletter, and then another list whenever I post articles and videos on that site. You can follow it right there. Now, I also want you to take a look at HealthyCell. They are a leading innovators in supplements designed to work at the cellular level to keep your body healthy. Now, if you're one of those people that you have a hard time sleeping, right? You're just tired of being tired all the time. Well, HealthyCell has a product called REM Sleep. It is the only supplement designed to support all four stages of sleep. It helps you fall asleep, stay asleep, and sleep deeply so you can wake up refreshed and ready to go. Now, as an America Out Loud listener, you can get 25% off your first order just for using the code OUTLOUD at checkout. So go to HealthyCell.com, check out all their products. They've got some wonderful products that I use. I use many of them. Find REM Sleep or any of the others. Put your cart together. Use that code OUTLOUD at checkout. It lets them know that you listen to America Out Loud. And as a thank you, you get 25% off your first order.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep is infuriating. Your mind races, you toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's fast-paced digital age makes it tougher. You're not alone. Poor sleep affects over 70% of us. The CDC even labeled insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. Advanced nutrition company, HealthyCell, created REM Sleep to help you quickly fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake refreshed. Unlike other supplements that don't work, REM Sleep is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients, supporting all four stages of sleep using calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Over 1,000 reviews with an average star rating of over 4.4 proves it works. Take back your sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
Hello, I'm Ben Marble, MD, and I founded MyFreeDoctor.com as a donation-supported, faith-based nonprofit with a mission to save lives by delivering free doctor visits to patients in all 50 states of America. MyFreeDoctor.com treats a broad range of health concerns like COVID-19, long COVID, sinus infections, urinary tract infections, rashes, medication refills, and more. So please visit MyFreeDoctor.com, where we're healing America one person at a time.
Oral hygiene hasn't changed in 50 years. Brush, floss, repeat. We're told to use fluoride, which doesn't really address the acid-creating bacteria. That is where the dentist-recommended Spry Dental Defense System shines. Spry products contain xylitol, a natural sugar, which helps get rid of those nasty, smelly, acid-creating bacteria in our mouth. The best way to care for your teeth and gums is by using Spry. The Spry Dental Defense System has a wide variety of products, toothpaste, mouthwash, mints, and chewing gums that are designed to work together to keep your teeth clean and mouth healthy and smelling sweet all day long. To get your oral care back on track in an easy, effective, and very tasty way, switch to Spry today. Ask your dentist about xylitol and the Spry products. Spry can be found online and at all fine natural product retailers.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. If you joined the Constitution Study, and today we're talking about trial balloons. Yeah, we spent the first segment talking about the Chinese trial balloon, or what I believe to be a trial balloon, that they sent over the continental U.S. just to see how America would react. Not just its government, but its people. And so far, I would say the reaction pretty much is China can do whatever it wants. The American government is going to do little to stand up against it, and the American people will probably do even less. But as I said in the opening, this is just the latest in a long list of trial balloons, most of which actually haven't come from other countries. They've either come from within our own country or from these global elitists that think, well, if we can just convince the people to do the dumbest thing because we tell them they're going to die, then see how they react. Now, again, I'm old enough. I've been around this earth quite a while. I remember when all of the fears were about a global ice age. Everything's going to be frozen. We're all going to freeze to death. And I remember being, you know, by the year 2000, we're going to be in another global ice age. And pack ice is going to cover most of the continental U.S. And, of course, that wasn't true. Didn't happen. Now, the next one said, well, if it's not global cooling, then it's got to be global warming. And we are all, you know, the ice packs are melting and the polar bears are dying and Manhattan's going to be underwater and Japan will disappear and all these islands will disappear. Oh, my God, we're all going to die. That didn't happen either. So they turned it in from, well, it's not global cooling, it's not global warming. How about we just call it climate change? Because then we can blame anything on climate change. If it's hot today, that's climate change. If it's cold today, it's climate change. If it's rainy today, that's climate change. If it's dry today, that's climate change. But we keep coming back to this fear, this irrational fear that they've developed about things like CO2 and the overall warmth of the Earth. So the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, they've been tracking this data. And you know what? For the last 8 years, there has been no global warming. The satellites NASA put up to track this stuff, no global warming. For 8 years, almost 8.5 years, according to the official NOAA website, there's been no global warming for almost 8.5, even though the people have put approximately almost 500 billion tons of CO2 into the atmosphere, no global warming. Now, what does this, Paul, have to do with trial balloons? Well, all right, there's a meteorological metaphor we could follow, but no, it's really simple. See, the question becomes, how long can these faux scientists, these politicians and bureaucrats, let's be honest, they may work in the science industry, in the scientific industry, but they're bureaucrats and politicians. How long can we keep the American people deluded and doing the dumbest things to ruin their lives because of a fake fear about global warming or climate change, as we like to call it? Now, I want to remind you, again, I spent 30 years in IT. All the global warming hysteria is based on climate models. Now, what is a climate model? Well, in the computer industry, it is an algorithm. It's a formula that says you put data in and you get a result out. Now, the problem with these models is when it comes to, if you're dealing with something simple, you know, you're trying to model, say wind flow, or you're trying to model how a ship passes through water, an airplane through the air, or the car down the road. There's relatively few variables. We know most of them. So you can create a pretty accurate model. By the way, if you at all enjoy Sims, racing Sims, flying Sims, these are all based on models, based on information that we know. It's one of the reasons why these racing simulators have gotten so accurate that actual professional race car drivers train on them, because they've got a limited number set of variables and we accurately understand what they're doing so we can put the correct data in. The problem is the environment has thousands upon thousands of variables. And most of them, we don't truly understand how they interact with each other. So think of it this way. Picture that you always see the hockey stick graph. Here's the temperature that's going to change, right? Think of it like a hurricane track, right? When you see a hurricane track, they've got the center line, which is where they think the hurricane's going to go. And then they've got these two borderlines. We think it's the plus or minus some amount, right? It's going to be so much to the right or so much to the left. We're not sure because we don't know all the data. We don't have all the models, don't include all the data. So we give you a range. Well, when it comes to the climate, that width of that error is larger than the world itself. We honestly don't know, partially because the models have so many variables, you literally tune the model to get the outcome you want. Imagine going to Las Vegas and you're going to play craps. Only you're not playing real craps, you're playing simulated craps. And guess what? You can tune the model so that you can control the outcome of each and every throw. That basically is what these climate models have become. They're not accurately looking at what goes on. They are literally tuned to give the quote-unquote scientists the outcome that they want. By the way, I say quote-unquote scientists because that pretty much is the antithesis of science. So let's actually look at some science. There's a group out there called The Right Climate Stuff. I just love the title because I remember the book, The Right Stuff, and the movie, The Right Stuff. It's called The Right Climate Stuff, and they have a series called The Steely-Eyed Missile Men Demolish the Climate Scare. And they're looking at some of this data. One of the key pieces they have comes from the late Dr. Harold Doiron's analysis. And what he did was really simple. He said, let's look at the amount of measured CO2 in the atmosphere, the concentration of CO2 in the atmosphere, and the average atmospheric temperature, and let's see how related they are. And based on that, what can we expect in the long run? Now, the result is what he calls the transient climate sensitivity, or how sensitive the Earth is to change based on temperature change based on CO2, if I understand this problem. And guess what he found? By the year 2100, if we did nothing to capture CO2, the global temperature would go up a maximum of 1 degree Celsius or 1.8 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, I just want you to think about that for a second. These people have convinced the people of the world to spend trillions of dollars. In the U.S., we spend $1 billion every day to stop what is at most a 1 degree warming in the atmosphere. Now, this tells me that their trial balloon has taught them an awful lot, scared the pants off the American people. We'll spend billions and trillions of dollars to protect us from something that really isn't that scary. So when you take this doctor's model, it says, listen, by 2100, we're talking at most 1 degree Celsius. If we, no matter what we do with the CO2, upper bounds, 1 degree Celsius. You go back to the NOAA and NASA data that says in almost 8.5 years, despite putting almost 500 billion tons of CO2 in the atmosphere, there's been no global warming. And guess what we find? Global warming is a hoax. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. This global warming scare is a hoax. I know Greta Thunberg has made a boatload of money off of it. She's gotten very famous from it. Al Gore's made a boatload of money. We have Lord knows how many elite bureaucrats around the world that are making money hand over fist, scientists that are raking in grants left, right, and center over a hoax. Now, I'm not saying CO2 has zero impact, but I'm saying is, if you look at the data, if we actually performed science, if we actually looked at our hypothesis, tested it, and then when we analyzed the results, modified our hypothesis rather than modifying the test, well, just think of how you could live your life without government interference for something that is not a problem. For example, right, the Department of Energy now, they want to regulate gas stoves. This is after California and several other states say they want to ban the sale of gas stoves because, well, we're afraid it's going to put pollutants into the atmosphere and some bogus study that says it increases asthma. even though there's plenty of studies that say, no, we've studied thousands of people and there's not a reasonable reason to believe that gas stoves lead to more or worse cases of asthma. But you see, we have a war on fossil fuels. Why? Because they produce CO2. And oh my God, CO2 is going to kill us. Don't you read the global warming literature? Yeah, and I find it garbage. Now, I want you to take a look over at Germany and what Germany's going through because their natural gas was shut off by Russia. What happens when we do that to ourselves? See, if they come for your gas stove, how long before they come for your gas furnace, your gas heater, your gas fireplace, your gas car, your gas generator? How long? You see, this law to California and New York and other states, this attempt by the Department of Energy to regulate is just another trial balloon. How far can we push the American people before they push back? Now, we've gone from cheap and easy to use incandescent bulbs to compact fluorescents, which, by the way, they're toxic if they're broken because they're loaded with mercury. And we've gone to LEDs, which are more expensive, but hey, they've gotten better over the years. But we went that way not because we found a better mousetrap. No, we were forced to do these things by government. And now they're going to try and force us to get rid of our gas stoves, our gas cars, even your basic hamburger. Now listen, you want to create a faux burger, you want to create meat alternatives and sell them. Hey, be my guest, give it a try. Impossible Foods, they manufacture this fake meat, this plant-based meat, and quote-unquote meat, right? And they've been selling it. And of course, I see ads, right? Fast food chains have Impossible Burgers and whatnot. Fine. I have no problem with a company trying an idea. Now, whether they do it because they think a plant-based diet is better or because of this pressure to get rid of cows because of global warming, which I believe drives a lot of this, I don't have a problem with these companies trying. But here's where life gets interesting. See, Impossible Foods is planning on laying off 20% of their workforce. By the way, this is the third wave of layoffs in just the last year. Now, why are they laying people off? Well, their sales are down. They're trying to streamline their business in order to, because they can't continue to grow. At least not the way they've been growing recently. But there's also reports in the fourth quarter. Their fiscal year, that their sales were down something like 10%. So we have this. We have to get rid of cows because, well, cows are ruminants. They eat grass and they fart. And that's supposed to have a tremendous impact on global warming. Doesn't seem to have been the case because the world just hasn't warmed that much. But this was a trial balloon, right? Let's see if we can reduce the amount of cows by reducing the amount of meat people eat by creating this fake meat food. And apparently that balloon isn't doing so well. It's not floating, right? It was novel. It had a big spike because it was novel. But even promoting the quote-unquote social benefits of a plant-based menu has not convinced consumers to actually eat the stuff. Now, here's the part that I want you to worry about. Because if Impossible Foods floated this trial balloon and it falls to the earth and the company goes under, okay, we've learned something, haven't we? We've learned that we're not ready to give up our steaks and hamburgers in order to eat plant-based foods. It's certainly not simply because of the quote-unquote social benefits. But I have another trial balloon that may be floated. See, if this meat industry, this fake meat industry, it continues to collapse, how long before you figure the bureaucrats and government decide they're going to intervene because it's the right thing to do. After all, we have to stop global warming. We're willing to take away your gas stoves illegally. Why wouldn't we subsidize a fake food industry illegally? It's kind of the way governments work nowadays. We simply bribe people to do what we want by subsidizing things the government likes and regulating out of existence things that it doesn't. Like regulating out of existence gas stoves and gasoline-powered cars and subsidizing things like solar and wind power and electric vehicles. How long before it involves fake food? I mean, we've rolled over and let our bellies be rubbed for all the things done for global warming in the past. Why would government not expect us to do the exact same thing again? See, that's the thing about trial balloons. How you react to them is important, and how other people react to them is important. And so far, we've shown those in government that, well, all they have to do is tell us we're all going to die, and the American people will give up just about everything. We'll give up our gas stoves, our gas cars, our incandescent bulbs. What else will we give up just because some group of people, frequently with a financial incentive behind it, are willing to lie to us to scare us to death to do what makes no sense? I mean, it worked with global warming. It worked with COVID. But I'm going to talk about that after the break. Before I go, I want to remind you, the Constitution Study is just one of several voices here on America Out Loud. There's some other great commentators with some great articles and videos, podcasts, all available to you at the click of a button. So do me a favor, go to AmericaOutLoud.com, share those stories, those articles, the videos, share it all. Because working together and sharing this information is how we work together to secure the blessings of liberty.
You already know Genesis plus HOCL is your best defense against viruses. But did you also know it's the most powerful weapon for eliminating airborne mold too? Customers are raving about the Genesis Fogger's ability to tackle mold problems and the bad smells that go with them. And we all know mold is a hazard to your health. There's no airborne invader that Genesis can't handle. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you're ready for anything. Here on America Out Loud, we emphasize optimal health, and air is the most essential element for life. The average person inhales over 35 pounds of air every day. Yet we seldom think about how to rid the air of pathogens swiftly and safely when we need to. The Genesis Fogger Plus HOCL is the only way to quickly and naturally restore air to its optimal condition. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud for a free ebook on everything you need to know about HOCL and receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you'll be ready for what's next.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study, and today we're talking about trial balloons. No, I don't mean the party balloons we had as kids. I mean this idea of floating an idea, floating something out there, and seeing how people react. And of course, we talked about the Chinese trial balloon that traveled across our country last week and some of the impact we can expect from that. I talked about global warming in the second segment, and the fact that most of the models that are used are garbage. The few models that do seem to be fairly accurate are ignored, all to push us into changing our lifestyles the way a bunch of elitists and bureaucrats think we should live. But you can't have a discussion about trial balloons and their impact on not just America, but on the world, without talking about the COVID scamdemic. It was pretty obvious, pretty early on, that COVID was not a general public health emergency. Yes, there were certain people that were seriously at risk, the elderly and the ill, especially those with certain diseases like diabetes and severely overweight and other illnesses. But you see, rather than treating it as a disease that really impacts certain people, no, the government said, hey, this is a great opportunity for us to just regulate the people into oblivion. They turned science completely on its head, completely ignored that, and not only did they pump out a lie to shut us down, they actually went so far as to turn us into medical guinea pigs. They did the nations of the world did to their people what the Nazis did to the Jews and the children and the gypsies and the other Lebens und Wurtenslebens, life unworthy of life in their mentality. We did the exact same thing. I'm reaching out to a Dr. Aaron Carity. He's got a new book called The New Abnormal, The Rise of the Biomedical Security State. Think about it. We were forced to wear masks. We were forced to lockdowns. They came up with vaccine passports where you had to show your papers to enter certain places to make sure that you had been a good and proper subject of the medical experimentation. And now that's considered normal. I mean, Governor Newsom in California signed a bill that took effect January 1st, basically saying if a doctor disagrees with the government-approved treatment advice, they could lose their license. That's right. Doctors in California, if they actually practice medicine around COVID-19, are risking their medical license. Because the tribal one was, the state can do whatever it darn well pleases as long as they say it's for COVID-19. You want to lock people in their rooms? Fine. You want to say they're not essential and shut businesses down? Great. You want to put small businesses out of business while you promote and support large businesses? Go ahead, do it. You want to tell everybody to wear a mask and stay indoors, then go out and have a big party or a big dinner? Be my guest, because the American people stood for it. Now, what happened in Europe and Australia, they don't have the same laws. But here in the United States, we have a thing called the Constitution that supersedes anything any state government does, any federal government does. But we've become so universally ignorant about that, that we let these people get away with it. Sure, there are people that are suing, right? There's several doctors suing the both Newsom and the California Medical Board. You have the attorneys general in Missouri and Louisiana that are suing the Biden administration. But they're asking the federal government to protect themselves, to protect them from the federal government. You know what you don't have? When did you see the governors of Missouri and Louisiana saying, excuse me, Mr. Biden, we didn't authorize you to do this. We didn't authorize any of this nonsense. We didn't authorize the rent control. We didn't authorize the mandates. We didn't authorize any of it. No. And if you send someone here to enforce those illegal laws against our citizens, we'll be more than happy to put them in jail. And we'll be more than happy to work with our people and our delegates to have you impeached for the criminal actions, for the high crime of depriving people of rights protected by the Constitution. But you see, none of that happened. See, Biden isn't afraid of being impeached because he knows that the people we hire in the House of Representatives don't have the intestinal fortitude to do it. And even if they could, he knows his buddies that control the Senate will make sure it goes nowhere. Then, Paul, what do we do? How about the American people stand up and say, I've had enough. No more.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
See, the American people didn't say that. A few people did. I think of, Attila's Gym in New Jersey, where these two gym owners refused to comply with the illegal acts of their governor and their government and simply refused to shut down. Or I believe there's a restaurant owner in Buffalo, New York that refused to submit to illegal inspections and his people stood with him and it didn't happen. But those are the exception, not the rule. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the problem. I remember the video of the small restaurant owner in tears because she had been shut down while catering for a movie shoot was going on across the street. How about you just open your stupid business back up? How about you get your neighbors and your other business owner to stand with you and fight against the tyrants trying to shut you down? I'm not saying it would have worked. I'm not even saying it would have. There would have been no pain. But you know what would have happened? You'd have shown the governor that, no, we're mad as hell, and we're not going to take this anymore. But Paul, you know, we had all these government officials, these bureaucrats, these experts, these regular, they're supposed to know better. They're supposed to, no, they're not. They're full of people, which means they're just as corrupt as any other people. And we still have these quote unquote regulatory agencies, these criminal agencies promoting the use of vaccines, even though they are aware of people experiencing problems. Doctors Tom Shibakuru, sorry if I mispronounce that, he's the director of CDC's Immunization Safety Office. He said, with respect to reports of people experiencing debilitating illness, we are aware of these reports of people experiencing long-lasting health problems following COVID vaccinations. The CDC knows there are problems with this. How big a problem, we're not entirely sure, because the data keeps getting played with. But they know there's a problem. Yet they're still they put this experimental drug, a drug that has not been fully licensed by the FDA, a drug that is not authorized, not licensed for use in the United States, Pfizer and Moderna, they are not. They put the Pfizer, I believe it was a Pfizer drug, maybe both, on the childhood immunization schedule. That's right, the CDC wants to experiment on your children. And we're supposed to listen to them. Why? Well, because when they pushed, we rolled over and played dead. And it's not just the mRNA-based treatments. They're not vaccines, ladies. They legally are not vaccines. The Johnson & Johnson, which I believe is called an adenoid virus, it's another form of a gene-type therapy. They're finding reports of Guillain-Barré syndrome being linked to that, to the Johnson & Johnson shot. There have been 73 confirmed cases of Guillain-Barré within 42 days of a shot by Johnson & Johnson. Now, based on routine numbers, they only expected 31. So, you know, how big this problem is, we don't know, but darn it, you're an American citizen. Shouldn't you know the risks of this type of thing before you take the jab? How many of us have listened to these medical advertisements where half of it is a rambling of all the things that could go wrong? And here you have an experimental treatment. And the American people lined up to get jabbed. Some simply because they were like lemmings, following the fake scientists, following the bureaucrats. Some were coerced. If you don't get this shot, you're not going to get life-saving treatment. I have friends that were told if they didn't get the shot, if the birth of their child had any complications, they may not be able to get into the hospital because they weren't a medical guinea pig. And believe it or not, it all started way back with the masks. Remember the mask mandates? Told you the story before. I think it was March of 2020 when I went to, I was at a book fair and I had my table set up and organizer came over and says, Paul, that looks great, but the county just passed a mask mandate. Now we're on private property, so we should be okay, but we're outdoors and we're next to a public road and we don't know what the police are going to do. Told her flat out, I said, I don't care. That mask mandate's illegal. It's void. It's empty. It's meaningless. And I showed her the proof. Because even I, with my limited understanding of science, recognized that a virus that is 1/1,000th the size of the pores, the holes in the mask, that mask is going to do somewhere between diddly and squat. And all the reports started coming out. Oh, you know, I had doctors telling me, wear a mask. Fauci was saying, wear two masks, wear three masks. I looked at the studies that the CDC used for recommending masks, and they were total garbage. The main one were two hairdressers. That's right, two hairdressers and their customers. Meanwhile, multiple studies were coming out showing that masks do not stop any respiratory virus. But yet we were still told to wear masks. By the way, I refuse to wear masks in public. Private property is something different, and I've talked about that in the past. I won't do business with them anymore. But now we have yet another study, a study of multiple random control group testing studies. And you know what they found? Those masks you've been wearing do diddly squat. They found that out in the community, wearing a mask does little if to nothing for any influenza-like or COVID-like illness. That's right, 0.95 out of 100, if I'm reading this correctly. Now, they had a little bit more problem with the N95s because there were different studies, but that said, well, maybe there's a little bit more. But you know what they ended up finding is there was very low certainty that any of the numbers were accurate. So the next time some bureaucrat or some quack tells you, hey, put on a mask, show them the data. Masks don't work. And if you're not scientist enough to know to have found that out beforehand, I don't trust you. If you're telling me that wearing a mask, which makes no scientific sense with all the studies that show they don't work, but you still want me to do it, you're not a doctor, you're a bureaucrat. And I don't trust a bureaucrat with my health. So where does that leave us? I think it should leave the American people to a certain extent with a sense of dread. Because we have spent decades being led around by the nose, being led around by so-called experts, so-called scientists, so-called regulatory agencies telling us how we should live our life. And more often than not, they're not only wrong, they're actually doing it for other means. These are all trial balloons. How far can we push the American people? How far can we push the people of the world? Look at what's going on in Denmark, where the farmers are being put out of business because of a fear of global warming that, again, makes no sense. Remember, CO2 is plant food. They actually pump CO2 into greenhouses to get the plants to grow better. Meaning the more CO2 we produce, the more plants can eat it and grow and reproduce, which lowers the CO2. Almost as if it was designed that way. Isn't that amazing? Or we sit there and watch while we're told to put the jab will stop transmission. We keep hearing that. I still hear people telling me, but the jab will stop transmission, even though it's proven that is false. That it's not a vaccine. It's not an immunization. It is not a public health issue because it does not stop the transmission. So for all those people talking about the smallpox vaccine case back in Boston, this does not stop transmission. It is a hoax, and it's cost the American taxpayers billions of dollars. But if we continue to react to these provocations, these attacks against our rights, our liberties, our ability to live free, if we continue to react by simply stepping back and letting them get away with it, then, ladies and gentlemen, liberty is gone. Right now, think about it. Think of how much of your life is regulated by some bureaucrat somewhere because we didn't stand up and say no. So I'm sorry. The Chinese balloon was not a harmless experiment. The global warming scaremongering was not a harmless attempt to save the planet. COVID And our reaction to it was not a harmless attempt to save the American people. These are all about control. These are all about seeing how far an enemy, an opponent, how far you can push them before they'll react. And that's right. When it comes to your freedom and liberty, the American people are an opponent to their government. Government wants to dictate how you live your life. And again, it's not just the American government. Just look at the World Economic Forum. They want to control every aspect of your life. They want to put tracking devices under your arm. I'm not making this up, ladies and gentlemen. There's video of these people telling you, this is what we're doing. Klaus Schwab wrote a book, The Great Reset, in which he said, you'll own nothing and enjoy it. Because he knows the American people and the people of the world won't do anything about it. Because we've shown them, as they've pushed in the past, that we'll just sit back and take it. And they can lead us right into the injection line or lead us right into the gas chamber. Now, if you want to share this type of news, let people know they can hear the Constitution Study every weekday at 4 p.m. Eastern on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard in the iHeartRadio Network. All the episodes go to podcast, typically a day or two after they're heard on talk radio. Find them on your favorite podcast app, but do me a favor, subscribe and rate the show. It helps other people find it as well. Find all the links to the homepage at AmericaOutLoud.com. Do your part, though. Share them and help us as we share the blessings of liberty.